Maybe other people didn't think this, but I think I was tempted to think this. In days gone by, we've potentially thought in ministry that if somebody is bivocational, maybe they just didn't have the leadership ability to lead something that would allow them to be full time. And what I've seen is actually the opposite. Being bivocational actually has sharpened me as a leader.
You're listening to a special edition of the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen. As you know, this past decade has shown a lot of changes for AMSs across the nation. We've had associations merging, some of them disbanding altogether. Others are making strategic moves that allow them to be more relevant than ever before. Hey, today we're talking about a bivocational AMS. My special guest today is Sean Pierce. Sean and I are friends from way back in the core competency days, and I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. Hey, thanks for coming in and sitting down with me, Sean.
Hey, Rick, it's awesome to be with you, man. It's good to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, for the audience, Sean is the AMS for Hudson Baptist Association in Albany, New York. Hey, Sean, before we get to the podcast questions, I want you to tell us about your family and then share with us your ministry experience that brought you to become an AMS.
Yeah, so I've lived since I was in junior high in New England and New York. I was a son of a church planter and married my wife's from Maine, who met in college. And so really, when God called me to ministry, I felt a heart for the Northeast. I felt like there were enough pastors and ministry leaders in the Bible Belt. They didn't need another one. And these are the people I knew and loved. And so went to seminary and was restarting a church at the ripe age of 22. Didn't have a clue then, still don't, but gave it my best shot and ended up pastoring the first church that I had ever been in that actually had deacons. And I really enjoyed it and really grew as a leader in ministry and started a church. And anyway, long story short, ended up coming here to Hudson Association back about 15 years ago as a young DOM. I think it was about 34, 35, and love it. And now I'm bivocational. And so just really enjoy where we are in ministry and just have a heart for the lostness and the people around.
That is great to hear. Hey, tell us about your specific vision for your association.
You know, Rick, when God called me to this role, I was pastoring a church, and honestly, I struggled with it because I really felt God was going to take us through a season as a pastor of a church of just extending our vision. We just had come through a number of years of some incredible things happening, and in the process, I was asked to consider being then called a director of missions, and to be honest with you, that was nothing I was ever interested in. A friend called me up, and I knew that because of who he was and his prayer life, I had to take it seriously, so I began reading the book of Acts, and I said, God, I really don't want this, but if it's what you want, you got to show me. And so I hit Acts chapter 9, verse 31, and it was like lightning off a page into my heart. I'd read it a million times, but never had heard it before for what it was. And God gave me a vision of what Association of Churches can and should be, at least for me. And it says there, it's a little snapshot of when Saul becomes Paul. And Luke writes a little, just one little verse to kind of give us an update on the state of the churches in the gospel at that time. And it says this, it says, then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And God honestly stripped away some apprehension. I quite honestly didn't want to become, you know, a denominational mail carrier. I wanted to be a part, you know, of reaching people with the gospel and people moving forward, and it freed me. It gave me a vision that churches together can be strengthened and they can be multiplied, and the only two components that are ultimately needed is living a life that fears God and that is strengthened by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do that, and I'll give my life to that. And so as simple as that is, that's really our vision here that I've had and that we've tried to breathe in and create into the DNA of our Association of Churches, is that we're about the strengthening and starting of churches. And there's great tools and great partners and just all kinds of things that have been helpful. But at the end of the day, it's on us living out, you know, our walk as pastors, as churches, as church members, and seeing that become a reality.
Boy, that's really golden, Sean. Listen, hey, two things I take away from that is that, number one, I am grateful to you for being prompted and led and directed by the Holy Spirit. That's so important in this ministry. The second part I take away from that is anytime you know a godly man who's got a formidable prayer life and he wants to sit down with you and talk to you a bit, it's kind of scary. Even sometimes we just need to say, oh, what change is coming? And because it seems like there always is. But I praise God that we each have those men that speak into our lives, and you were open enough to overcome the presuppositions that you may have had, that you were open to that, and look what God has done. Hey, you and your association then transitioned to a bivocational model for your position. What have you seen as the advantages and even the disadvantages to being a bivocational AMS?
Yeah, that's. I had really enjoyed that journey, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure how well it would work, but I feel like it's worked well, and the pastors and churches really have bought in, and frankly been with me all the way in it. And what I've seen that I didn't see coming is that doing both of them together, particularly as a pastor and a pastoral role, these two roles fit together really well. And you know, I can literally be, you know, working with coaching or helping a church planter or helping a pastor work through some, you know, just strategy or challenges in his church. And all the while, the inner voice is inside my head learning from the conversation that we're having. And so I'm actually a better pastor because I'm relating to guys in all different kinds of contexts. And then on the flip side, because I'm a practitioner, I'm seen differently than pastors now.
Right.
I'm convinced we're increasingly in a practitioner's world. And so they respected me before when I was a full-time director of missions and helping out in church planting, but they look at me differently. And I bring more to the table for them because I'm just intuitively facing the same things that we are. So, you know, way back when we were first battling COVID-19, and that began hitting, as a pastor, I was automatically, right off the bat, facing the same things they were.
Right.
So I didn't have to sit down and try to figure out, hey, what are our guys thinking about? What do they need help with? I kind of knew. So it's really helped me resource guys better, and it just those two have just worked so well together.
You know, if the listeners today could, if this was a video podcast, they would have seen me smiling because as you were talking, I was reflecting on my own time as a director of missions. And I remember saying to my wife, man, if I ever went back to the pastorate, I would be such a better pastor for having walked in these shoes of being a director of missions or AMS at the time. So that's very insightful. But I love what you're saying about being a shoulder to shoulder with these guys in the ministry side, as well as being their AMS. That's phenomenal. So that being said, though, what are some of the disadvantages?
There really are probably two. One is that, you know, every once in a while, there are time conflicts. You know, there's something that I need to do for the association or the church that I'm just not available on the other side. But everybody in ministry faces that. The biggest disadvantage that I run into is I'm just not free on most Sunday mornings like I normally was when I was full time.
Right.
And at first, that seems like a deal breaker. But what I've discovered is there's other ways to connect with the guys, the pastors. There's other ways even to connect with the leaders in the churches and to make relationships with people. And, you know, in a world where technology more and more rules the day, that Sunday morning time is far from the only time that, you know, that I can know people and get to know them and be known and relate to them. And so for me, it really hasn't been that big of an issue. And I make sure that I'm able to be away and visit a few of the churches a year, you know, maybe half a dozen, our church plants or some others that just that I need to be around. But for us, it really hasn't been that big of a deal. And our guys are just telling me, you know, like, Sean, honestly, on the grand scale of things, that's really not our priority. We really want you doing some other things. So I felt the pressure to be in the churches actually more than they did.
Wow.
For me to be there.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, so do me a favor right now. Reach up, take your AMS hat and take that off your head, put it on your desk. Now I need you to put your pastor hat on. Tell us about the other half of your ministry. How's that working for your church?
You know, it really, again, it really has helped. I took one of our church plants that had was done really well and started off really well, but it had plateaued earlier than it really needed to thrive. And so I kind of swallowed hard. You know, it's one thing when you're pastoring a church that's been around for 50 years and running 60 or 70 people and everybody are glued together and know each other, and it can continue on almost till Jesus comes. But this was a church plant where people didn't know each other well, and it just didn't have momentum and longevity, and it was quickly going to start sliding. And we stepped in and grabbed it. And, you know, those first, honestly, Rick, those first two or three years were brutal. How do you reinvent a church plant, keep it flying without landing it and saying, can we just stop for 6 months and re-envision this thing? And so those first two or three years were tough, but man, in the last 3 years, we've seen just God do an amazing thing. I think we baptized close to 30 people in that time period, and our attendance doubled. And we were literally, I mean, I've never been a part of a ministry like this, but we were a month away from insolvency, just not having the funds to continue. And we were looking 6 months later, had enough money to fix the front parking lot. It was so bad. We had such a huge pothole. I had a guy visiting with a Corvette, and I cringed every time he'd pull in. The front end would bottom out hit, and I just thought, oh, this is not the way to win an influence guest. But we were broke. You know, I volunteered the first 6 months pastoring, still working full time, just so we could afford to put a roof on the place, because it was literally raining and pouring inside on heavy rains. But wow, we're in a different world today. Just so different. In fact, we're ready to hire a staff member, and we have enough that I could be full-time. In fact, if I really wanted to be, I could be full-time either for the association or the church. But I feel like it's more strategic for me to stay part-time. I'd rather have two or three part-time staff than I would me to be full-time. It's better for the church, and I think it's better for the association.
So let me ask you another question, and it's a bandwidth question. Does being bivocational reduce the quality or effectiveness of your leadership?
You know, I think that in days gone by, we've potentially thought in ministry that if somebody is bivocational, maybe other people didn't think this, but I think I was tempted to think this, that, you know, maybe they just didn't have the leadership ability to lead something that would allow them to be full-time. And what I've seen is actually the opposite. Being bivocational actually has sharpened me as a leader. As odd as this may sound, I have to be really lean and mean with my time. I'm in the moment. You know, if I'm talking with somebody in our church that's grieving somebody that's lost, you know, I give them the time that they need. But I've learned to really prioritize time more than I did when I was full-time, whether pastoring or as a DOM. And it's forced me in a good way to adapt and to rely on volunteers and to multiply my teams on both sides of the equation. And I had no choice because, you know, for the mission to move forward, I had to adapt. And so I would like to have said when I was full time that I was good at that. I think I'm a whole lot better by being bivocational on both sides of that. So I personally feel like that I'm actually a way better leader with those kinds of time constraints. And look back, I feel convicted that I wasted more time than I really realized when I was full time.
You know, that resonates pretty strongly with me as a leadership guy. I love the topic, the subject of leadership. And one thing that I say all the time to pastors, to coworkers that I work with, is that if you want to get something done, find the busiest guy you can find to give it to, and it'll get done. And it sounds counterintuitive, but the reality is guys that get it done, get it done. And they'll make time for it if they believe in it. If you give it to the guy that's got all the time in the world, chances are there's a reason why he has all the time in the world. He's not going to get it done. And so I appreciate what you say there. Bandwidth, it rarely is a problem. Now, at the same time, we got to be careful, right? Because you don't want to burn yourself out. We do have to be healthy. We have to be surrounded by a cloud of brothers and sisters that can speak into our life to make sure that we don't get out of balance. But for the most part, I think you're spot on. I think those that do, and they do it really well because they understand the call of God on their lives, and they're after it all the time, and they're getting it done. They're doing what needs to be done. So I commend you there. I think that's awesome. Hey, so what should associations think about as they consider this model for the future, perhaps?
Yeah, I think inevitably we're going to see more bivocational ministries across the board, not just associations, but churches, et cetera. In some ways, it's retro.
Paul the
Apostle is bivocational. But for associations, I don't think it's for every association at all. I don't think it's a silver bullet by any stretch. But I think more should entertain it than have. And so for me, a couple of things to think about to whether or not this is going to actually work for an association or for the other side of ministry, let's say if it is a church. On the church side, I'll take the easy one first. This would not be possible if I did not have another pastor in the church where I'm in. Mm-hmm. He's not a staff member. He's not paid. He's volunteer. We treat him and see him completely as a pastor. In fact, I don't even call him a lay pastor. He carries a lot of water. And when I'm away, everybody sees him and views him just the same as they would for me. So it frees me up on the church side.
Amen.
On the association side of things, I've watched with our guys here, and hopefully it's this way everywhere else. I can't speak to associations in the rest of the country. I've been in two or three here in the Northeast, three or four. And the association that I'm in right now, there's a good camaraderie among guys. There's no underlying insecurities or jealousies or competition or just, you know, that we just don't have any undercurrents like that.
That's great.
And consequently, there's just a high level of trust and respect. And so I've never faced yet guys saying, well, Sean, how do we know you're not going out and meeting with partners and kind of making things work for your church? And, you know, Sean, you've been through some amazing things and look how your church has grown. I've not seen jealousy or questions, you know, well, Sean, you're only able to do that because you're bivocational and we're helping that be possible. And it's just been a high level of trust and a sense of together and teamwork. You know, I don't have an association that honestly is trying to track my every minute. Right or wrong, I don't even sit down and count hours. I just kind of allocate a percentage of what that looks like right now. It was 50-50 between the two. The church needed me a little bit more, so we moved 60-40. And I frankly eyeball it. Some weeks I'm more for the association side of things, and some weeks I'm more for the church. But I think I would die if I had to itemize minute by minute, you know, it just would be impossible. I pick up the phone and talk to this pastor, or I text this church member, or it's seamless for me. So I function and it in that level of environment of a high level of trust, it really works really well.
Yeah, it would seem like relationships trump the accounting, if you will.
Yes, I 100% agree.
Hey, Sean, I got a serious question for you, though. There's probably an AMS or two out there listening right now, and they're considering what the future holds for them and for their association. And maybe or maybe not, maybe a bivocational association has been contemplated. If they wanted to talk more about this with someone, would you be willing to give your email address and maybe they could engage you in this conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to talk to somebody thinking about that. And also even associations that may be thinking about that because there's just a lot to consider, and I think there's so much potential there. But my email address is Sean Pierce. It's my name, S-E-A-N, P as in Paul, I-E-R-C-E, at H-B as in boy, A as in apple, N-Y as in New York, .net. Sean Pierce at H-B-A-N-Y.net.
Great. Thank you so much for making yourself available to our brothers. Hey, one final question, and if you've listened to the podcast already, you know what's coming. But you and I both know that healthy leaders have the ability to challenge their own presuppositions. And so let me ask you this question. What have you changed your mind on lately?
Yeah, thinking about the association, remember when we were just everybody was learning how to Zoom, sitting in our office chairs,
yeah.
Which is funny. The whole world was Zooming everywhere and we weren't going anywhere.
That's funny.
Something dawned on me that I was neglectful in leveraging technology, even though I try to be somewhat on the more advanced technologically side of things. And I cover a big area. We cover like 1.5 million people, and I cover 12 or 14 counties. And
wow.
It's work for all of our guys to get together. It's just not realistic. And consequently, in this new world where guys are following practitioners and they're not willing to drive to just, to have a talking head meeting, I was failing to leverage the way we could help churches. And COVID-19 actually ended up being a blessing for me because it gave us some excuses to hold some Zoom meetings together. And I regularly was gathering our guys together, like, hey, how is this thing reopens in New York? What's this going to look like? How are you going to do it? And really leverage the expertise and the knowledge with all of the guys together. And so we really are jumping more to an online platform, not exclusively, but I was missing that. I really was. And I'm actually really excited to leverage that and build on that and even more to really help us to bring some quality support, encouragement, and even some training for guys downstream.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, looking back, so many amazing things happened. There was a lot of tragedy then, but so many amazing things happened for the church through the whole COVID-19 thing. And so we can see God's hand in that as we move forward as a church. Hey, guys, my special guest today was Sean Pierce. He is the AMS for Hudson Baptist Association in Albany, New York. And Sean, I want to thank you so much for sitting down with me today.
Hey, man, it was awesome. It's good to catch up with you, Rick.
Absolutely. God bless you.
You too.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.